The following recording has been made available by Agudath Israel of America, all rights reserved.
Now we turn our eyes to Sukkot coming up, and one of the highlights of Sukkot, of course, as everybody knows, is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which we have during each day of Chol HaMoed, and it's a time of great Simcha, and everybody wonders, what is this Simchas Beis HaShoeva all about? What is its matara? What is it for? So one of the things that they say is that it says that during the Chol HaMoed, the second, remember, Eretz Yisrael Chol HaMoed starts on the second day, they used to go up to the Har HaBayis and used to take water and they would pour it into the thing called the Shisin. They used to have this water ceremony. And everybody would come, as we're going to see soon, they danced and it was a time of great Simcha. So the first thing I wanted to mention about this day is that it tells us that the Gemara, when it describes it, it says that they made a tikkun gadol. They made a great tikkun. They fixed something up that wasn't proper when they did it. Because the entire Klal Yisrael came. If you've ever been to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it can get pretty crowded. So it says, Tanur Rabbanu B'Yishayna, Hayinoshim B'Bifni V'Anoshim B'Chutz. Originally, the women would stand inside and the men on the outside. That means, it says the Gedolei Torah used to come into the Ezras Noshim and they would dance and they'd be surrounded by the women and the women would be surrounded by the men on the outside. And it was a problem. They came to Kalas Reish. You start mixing people together and the atmosphere became very light, very frivolous, and it wasn't proper. So what they did, Viskinu, so they tried it the other way. She'enoshim yoishes b'chutz, the women would stand outside v'anoshim b'fnim. So it means the zakenim in the middle would dance, and then the men would surround them, and the women were on the outside perimeter. V'adayin ho'yiboyle de kalas reish, that didn't work either. So hiskinu she'enoshim yoishes m'lamal v'anoshim l'mata. So what they did is they finally made up that the women should go up on top. And they made a balcony. And this is where the custom of a balcony comes from. Remember my father, Sholo of Shalom? The balcony was the best seats in the house. I remember as a kid, you used to love to go up there and you saw everything. It was a beautiful view. It was very impressive. And it's like the difference in Siyam HaShas between sitting on the ground floor and sitting in the stands. You saw in the stands, you got to see everything. So the Gemara says, how could they do that? But it says that you're supposed to do the Beis HaMikdash exactly as it is. So the Gemara says they found a pasuk. And listen to this, an interesting pasuk that gives us a lot of understanding into why we do the things the way we do it. It's a pasuk in Zechariah. It says, La'asad Lov, on the time of Mashiach, it says they're going to make a eulogy. They will, all those who they will attend the death of the Mashiach of Yosef, and they're going to make a big hesped, make a big levaya. So what's going to happen over there? It says the soft arts mishpachos, mishpachos levad, mishpachos beis David levad, and the shame levad. It says they will make a big hesped. All of the families will come together. The family of David and the family will be in one place, and their wives will be in second place. So Gemara says, see, they separated the men and the women. So lo devarim kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. It's a omal osad lavo in future when they're doing. It's a hesped. And there's no Yetzirah, still it was proper that the men and women should be separate. So it says now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where they're doing Simcha, and there is a Yetzirah, for sure they have to be separate. So this is where we come to our understanding that we separate the men and the women by festivities, by Hespedim, and so on and so forth. And that's a Makor. It's actually a Makor in a Pasuk in Zechariah, and a Makor in a Gemara in Sukkah. So the question that was asked, I saw in a Sefer a great question he asked. He says, you know, if this was such a, two questions. Number one, if this was such an important thing to separate the men and the women, and they put the women upstairs instead of having the original where the women are inside, the outside, the inside, you know, why didn't they do this in the first Beis HaMikdash? Why did it wait until the second Beis HaMikdash until they made this tikkun? It means throughout the 420 years of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no problem with having the women stand around the Gedolei Torah who were dancing. So then he answers, because there was the Yetzirah in the first Beis HaMikdash was the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But when they took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah for Gilui Arayos became stronger. So during the first Beis HaMikdash, in the Tanakh so much talking about the Yetzirah for Gilui Reis. You find the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. If you know Tanakh better than I do, you know it's all talking about Avodah Zarah. Sometimes they use a marshal of Gilui Reis, but that's some of Avodah Zarah. So that was why it was the second base of Mikdash and not the first base of Mikdash. The other question they ask is, what did they do first? They put the men, the women were on the, here, and the men were on the outside, and it didn't work. So they put the men on the inside, the women outside, still didn't work. And so they went upstairs and made a balcony. If a balcony was such a good Eitzah, why didn't they make the balcony right away? Why did they wait until they tried two different times to make a balcony? Right away, you should say, this is, make a balcony, we don't have any of these problems. So he says, because they wanted, they listened to the women, and they wanted to make the women happy, because the women said, there's more Kedusha on the floor of the Azara than there's going to be upstairs in the Ezra's Noshim. And we want to have that greater Kedusha. So they tried everything they could to make them happy, to give them the greater Kedusha. And when that didn't work, it's because there was Kalas Reish, so then they had no choice but to go upstairs. But the original Kavana is to do the thing which would make Nachas Ruach L'Noshim. And you find very often, talk in the Beis HaMikdash, that there are many halachs that says, and why did they do this? And it says, Lasas Nachas Ruach L'Noshim, because they wanted the women to feel comfortable and to feel participatory in the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash. So Reb Shamshon Pinkus has a wonderful, wonderful insight into the whole concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva and what it was all about. So the first thing he says is like this. We know it says, Lama Nikra Shoeva. Why was it called Shoeva? Shoeva means to draw. Shemisham HaYashayvim Ruach HaKadosh. Because that's where they drew Ruach HaKadosh. When they drew the water, they were drawing Ruach HaKadosh. And Nemar, Shafta Mayim B'Sasa Mimayone HaYeshua. And they're going to gather the water, they're going to draw the water of joy from the wellsprings of salvation. So he says that they, the Hashpah, the Ruach HaKadosh that they came, was so great that the Navi, it says the Yonah HaNavi, how did he get Nevuah? It says because he went to a simplest Beis HaShoeva and he was Shayev from the Kedusha there until he became a Navi. So he says, what was this water? I mean, what are we accomplishing by pouring some water? What are we trying to do? So he says, the first thing we're trying to do, says on the side of the Mizbeach, there were two holes called Shisen. And these Shisen were holes that says went out of Tehoim. They went down into the depths of the earth. As a matter of fact, it says the very first word of the Torah, Bereishis, can also be read as Barashis. In the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a shis. He created this way of getting down to the time. And if you take a look at the creation of the world, the first 3 days of the creation of the world all centered around water. Right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right away creating water. It says, Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Pnei HaMayim. Right away, Hashem's greatness was on the water. And then the second day, he separated the waters. And then he made Yabosh on the third day. The first 3 days of the creation, he's dealing with this concept of water. Because that, and when he took the water, where does it say the waters were separated to? There were Mayim Helyonim and Mayim HaTachtonim. Because there on top was Shemayim. What's Shemayim even mean? Shemayim. That's where the water is, the Mayim Helyonim. And that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. And he takes that water and he gives it to us in the form of rain. And when the rain comes down, we're being given, it's called Shefa Bracha. Gishmei, have you ever heard the expression Gishmei Bracha? So Gishmei Bracha means in the sense, not just that it's going to water the earth, but from there comes the Shefa from the Ribono Shel Olam Bracha. So you have the Mayim Elyonim and you have the Mayim Tachtonim. And we celebrate this concept of water, as we'll see as we go into the Mayim a little bit more. We're going to be celebrating this concept of the Mayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to us, and the Mayim HaTachtonim, that we are the lower water that we're part of. So he says, Me'at Tahayim, Af Hemarabzim HaChasad Me'in Tzayfim. Just like the Mayim El Yainim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down reminds us of the greatness of the water, so the water that we have in the bottom also gives us that Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. And we're going to see why we do it once a year on the time of Chag HaSukkah. So it says like
why
this.
Why we do what?
Why we have this Nisach HaMayim. Why we do it on this time, the one time a year is during Chag HaSukkah, we go and we celebrate this concept of the water during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, during the time of Sukkah. Is the time when we're going to celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating this water. Why do we do it now? Maybe we should do a Pesach time. Maybe we should do it now. Why Sukkah? So that's actually, you should be able to figure out the answer, because when are we at our spiritual height is really Sukkot, because we've gone through Rosh Hashanah, we've gone through Yom Kippur. Now is the time when we're ready for a lot of great things that are going to come to us in Sukkot. So he says like this: in the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, says the Gemara, and there's a whole long Gemara, there's a whole parak kamat devoted to it. It says Chasidim va'anshei ma'isa merakdim b'fneim ba'avuka shel or. The Chasidim and the Anshei Ma'isa, the great people, would dance with avuka shel or, with torches of fire. Should be deva arim b'fneim divrei shiros hishbachas. And they would say shiros hishbachas. And it gives an example. Who danced? Listen to this. I mean, can you imagine? Just picture Reb Chaim Kanievsky doing this. It says that Reb Shimon Tanya, Amr Lava, Reb Shimon Gamliel, says that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Shaya Sameach Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when he was rejoicing with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Hayinaito Shmein Avuka Shal Or, he would take 8 torches, Vizarak Achaz and Naito Lachaz, he would juggle them. Veino Gazu Bezu, they didn't touch each other. And when he would bow down, he used to take his 2 thumbs, put them in the ground. And he was able to balance himself just on these 2 things. Nobody could do that. Vizui Kida, that's what we call Kida in the base of Mikdash, bowing down. And then it goes to others. Levi HaMitayo coming, the Rebbe Batani Sakini used to juggle 8 knives. Shmuel in front of Shmuel Malka would take 8 jugs of wine. And they used to do this juggling. I mean, can you imagine Gedolei Hador, long white beards, and they're juggling. What's going on here? Why? What? It seems to us like a bizarre zach. What exactly what they were doing? What was the purpose and what lesson were they teaching us by doing this juggling of these things into the air and the up and down and up and down until we understand what they were coming to tell us? So he gives a tremendous hakdama. And hakdama itself is worth the price of admission here. It says like this. Every time of the year is a special time for Klal Yisrael. It says on Pesach, he says we get together as Yehudim and we remember that we're free people. We have freedom. He says we come to Rosh Hashanah, we get together in the Beis Knesset and we daven, we should have a Gityar. On Shavuos, we remember the Torah. He says, B'chol Oysos Manim Misyachtim Ebar, we come together the Bayre without anything else, just us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says, and this is interesting, we're going to go now. He says, Tisha B'Av is also Mayid. He says, because why? Tisha B'Av is also a time when all the Yehudim get together. And what do they do on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av they cry. He says, and crying, he says, is one of the most Jewish, fundamental Jewish traits, is to cry. We cry in Tisha B'Av. And he said that when we cry, he says, now it's, I mentioned this once before, it's not so... he mentioned this in another place. We mentioned this concept of his that he's very upset about. He says, when you go to Leviathan, it used to be people would cry, and there was bechias. Now it's like embarrassing if somebody cries. Everybody tries to get him to be quiet. They svar them, so that was, I mean, svar karet. It says in Tanakh, it talks about bringing the noshim mekainanais. There was obviously, there were women who were trained to know how to do this. But he says nowadays, he says he was told by his grandmother that on Rosh Chodesh El in the Ezus Noshim, he says it was like a bomb went off. Chas v'shalom. He says there was screaming and yelling. Everybody would cry. I remember myself when I was a child, and I don't even know who this lady was. I remember her name for some reason. Her name was Goldie Foreman. Must have been Nochen Lachama. And I remember used to come Yisker, and she would put her head through the mechitza, and she'd start screaming hysterically. There was such a concept of bechia. And now he says, unfortunately, that bechia is lost.
Well.
What is that bechia? What?
You think these people are not well nowadays?
Not right. Somebody cried. Exactly. Right. Touched, you know. You're right, Nebuchadnezzar. He says a story in the Ramah, no less than the Ramah, says a story. The one time Plato, who was the great Chacham, Plato, so he once met Yirmiyahu Navi. And he comes and he sees what they were contemporary. Obviously, you know, we think of, you know, it is. I was thinking about this. We think of history like Yirmiyahu's here and Plato's there, but they could have lived at the same time. We live at the same time as Obama. You know, it's 2 different things. But so he says. So he asks him. He sees he's sitting. It's after the Churban, and he sees he's sitting. And he's crying. He's crying. So he says, listen, tell me something, you know, Yirmiyah. He says, you're a chacham of the Yehudim. I have two questions to ask you. He says, one reason, he says, what are you getting so bent out of shape and upset over Eitzim Vavonim? A building got destroyed. They're building a new building, you know. What are you getting so carried away? You're crying so much. And the second thing he says, and this is very powerful, he says, what's the use of crying over something that's been destroyed? That's crying over spilt milk, right? It's finished. It's gone. Move on with life. Why are you crying? You know, it's a very interesting thing. Yitaka see it. If you've ever been to a non-Frum or a non-Jewish Levaya, not only don't cry, but it's like a celebration. It's like they don't cry over what was lost. They say they had a good life, and they sing, and they dance, and get drunk. I mean, it's a whole different mahus than we're crying over it. And they don't cry. They say play. I remember once he was some sort of music fan, so they play the music over there. They get buried with their dog. I don't know, all sorts of things they do. It's a whole different music, but we're crying.
Make a suda.
What?
Don't.
No, that's to make brah. No, that's a different. That's a suda savra. There's such a concept of suda savra, but that everybody does. But everybody has that. They have food out. But befrat, they have to make a bracha. That's to make a bracha in the schus and the shama, but not to celebrate. It's right, because I remember. Right, when they're menachem avel, they ask you. I remember this was by Maimon. That's how I learned this. By Maim and her, the Edom. So I remember he said, make a brach. I said, you know, we don't really eat so much. He said, no, it's a schus for, right, we don't, I was, I remember once I went, with my shver, and I started to take some, he slapped my hand, he says, you don't eat by it. But by, he said, please, it's, we make a brach. So they have that concept. But that's how to make a brach, not all sin. So Plato asks Yirmiyah Navi, why are you crying over it? It's gone. So listen to Yirmiyah Navi. He says, so first he tells him, listen, ask me any question you want, I want to give you my bona fides that I'm a chacham. So he asks him all these questions. He sees mama. She's phenomenal. So he says, okay, now I see your taka the chacham mikol adam. I see you're so smart. So give me the answers. So he says on the first question, why do we cry in Eitzim Vavonim? He says you should know that all the chachma that you see in me came from those Eitzim Vavonim, from those stones. And those walls came great things. In there was all of that. Everything came from those stones and those walls. And to this day, we look at a stone and we tell us it's a stone from the Kaisel. It has in it such kedusha. We believe that in a stone can come tremendous kedusha. It can actually be gazapped in the stones. You take people daven by the Kaisel. I heard you can now daven in the tunnels, and you can be right next to the Kadshei Kadshim. Right, there's a little place in the tunnel tour. You go over there. They have a minion there. I mean. Mamish Gavaltik, because we believe in that. He says, in terms of the second thing, why I'm crying, he says, you'll never understand. I can't explain it to you. You can't understand it. So he says, was the reason he couldn't understand it, because he wasn't smart enough. He was a chacham mikol adam. He was also a very smart person. So he says, what did Yirmiyah mean when he says, you'll never understand this? So this is how he explains it very beautifully. First he says, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, Bebechi yavo u'betachnunim ovilam. That Yirmiyah himself says that the way we're going to bring the Mashiach is through tears. The way that the Mashiach, the Bechi Yavo, with tears we are going to bring the Mashiach. It says, Mitaych Bechia, Kach, Kish Yigal HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael, Mitaych Bechia Hugayelim, Shenere Bechi Yavo, Betachnun Ovilim. I'm going to bring them through tears. It says, what is this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us? What is this relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The tears is going to have do it.
Tears comes from the heart.
The tears comes from the heart, but it's even deeper. We'll see. So he says the first thing we have to understand is our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just of good friends. Our relationship, he says, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is of mishpacha. Is a mishpacha, is a family, a of lo kesher shal chaverim kviyachol kesher mishpachti. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro, what is the first thing he told him? He says, who is this God that I should listen to him? So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? B'ni b'chayri Yisrael. My son, my b'chor Yisrael. He says, he gives an example. He's very good at these type of examples. I enjoy his examples. He says, let's say you have a little boy. And somebody goes up and starts up with this little boy. And he gives him a hard time. And he slaps him across the face. And after he slaps him, the boy comes and the boy mentions, oh, did I tell you that my father is the chief of police in this city? So he goes, oh no, did I make a mistake? This was not a good move. So the same thing over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and he said, B'ni b'chayr Yisrael, he was saying, listen, Paro, be very careful who you're starting up with, because the people that you're oppressing are the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, you can't understand. We have to understand how close, if we only see it in the parent-child relationship. He says, if you take a child and the child is, you know, comes to the father and he tells the father, you know, talk to me. And the father says, I have no time. And then the child says, I'm sick. So I said, oh, you're sick? Oh, then we have time. He says, I need to go to the hospital. So he takes him to the hospital. Finds out he's sick. He sits with him for 2 weeks. He has no time 1 minute, and then he sits with him 2 weeks. And I can tell you, did he have Yovda? I was with my son. Did that actually happen? And I had to take care of something. Turns out he had appendicitis. The thing never got taken care of. We ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks, kakava. And that was my life for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, because of his appendicitis. He says the Ribbono Shel Olam, when it comes to that relationship of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael, is Ribbono Shel Olam, which is so fast, it's like a father who drops everything for a child. And then he says, but Bamison, the Ribbono Shel Olam's relationship with Klal Yisrael, even greater than that, because there's a relationship between Ish v'Isha. There's a relationship between a husband and a wife, and that is also the relationship that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has with the Klal Yisrael. Different times and different matzavim, the relationship matures depending on us, how the relationship works out. He says, and a husband and wife, he gives a mashal of the Ava there. He says how it transcends money, it transcends everything. He says, can you imagine? Husband goes to his wife and he says, listen, I have tremendous news. You know, we have a tremendous debt to the Makolet. We've $5,000. And I just appraised your ring, and it's exactly that amount. And all we have to do is we'll sell your ring, and we'll give it to the Makolet, and we're finished with our debts. So, of course, she's not going to be maskim, because the tabas is more to her than the value, than the money that's involved. The tabas is worth everything, because it represents that relationship. So he says, that's the relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the relationship of a husband and a wife. And he says a tremendous answer on Akasha that we've answered so many times, and it's amazing how deep the Torah is. I'm about to give you an answer, which is going to be a different answer than all the things we've had. It says like this. It says, in the first time when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to bring water from the rock, what was he told to do to the rock the first time? First time. Hit the rock. First time was hit the rock. The second time he was told to speak to the rock, and he messed up, and he hit the rock, and that's why he ended up, all the things happened, and so on. So all the, what was the difference? You know, we talked about what Moshe Rabbeinu's chet was, but the fundamental question was, why did Ribbono Shel Olam tell him the first time to hit the rock, and the second time to speak to the rock? I mean, either hit the rock twice, or speak to the rock twice. Why did it change? Good question.
So
he says like this. He says, B'pam rishayin Hashem lo ledabri al ha-sela, b'pam ha-shniya l'ha-kais. Ha-kaz ha-sela, shinsas kol mapas historia shel olam. We changed the world. So it says, for Karen, if he hadn't done it, Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone in, they would have built Beis HaMikdash, that would have been it. So the world would have been the same. But he says, what was the difference between the first time and the second time? He says, the first time, he says, the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael was that of a parent and a child. He says, a parent and a child, amol, if the child doesn't misbehave, the child runs out into the street, amol darf megeven apach. He says, but the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam after Matan Torah was that between a husband and a wife. And a husband and wife, there's no hakah. Husband and wife speak to each other. He says, therefore, by the first Sela, the first time when there was still a parent-child relationship and it had not matured into husband-wife relationships, Hashem said, Hakas a Sela, because that's how you deal with a child. You have to know. How do you have to discipline? You have to know sometimes it has to be Hakka. The second time, what is the after Matan Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael became Ish v'Isha, then already it was no longer Hakka, then it was Dabri el Sela. And that's the reason why the first time was Hakka, and the second time was Dabir, because the first time was parent-child, and the second time was husband-wife. And that's the reason, the new reason that we have for this question that we've asked so many, so many times. So he says, the Ribbono Shel Olam, what did he want? Why did he want that the second time? Why did he want Taka Dibur? Because he wanted to be a relationship built on love, not built on fear also. It's a relationship that's built on that we do it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. So therefore, and that's Dibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to, so to speak, hit us into doing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it, and we do it because we have an Ava for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and because we want to do that. So he says, now we can begin to understand and come back to answer our original question and understand why we have this whole concept of crime and what this has to do with the simplest basis of Shoeva. So he says, Yirmiyah said, and he says, I can't explain it to you. He says, what do you mean you couldn't explain it to him? He says, because when there's a relationship between two people that's so deep, so one person gives the relationship to the other person through tears. When they see what's going on, like you said before, when they see what's going on in the other person's heart, you can say all sorts of words, but I can tell you how an argument ends with bechiyah, right? No matter you have a child or a wife, which or a husband, whichever it goes, as soon as bechiyah, that's the end of the discussion. If you have a child that starts to cry, right away the parent comes to the child's aid. He says, if a mother, a child, children are very smart, so let's say a child hurts himself a little bit, and he wants the mother to come and comfort him, but he knows not enough, so all he has to do is he says, Mama, he writes, Dam, Dam, blood. Mother right away comes running, because she understands that it hit a certain point. So he says, why? So that's why crying works, because our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam is either a parent-child or a husband-wife relationship, and therefore bechiyah is what makes the other person understand. Whereas the relationship of the philosopher, his relationship was a mind relationship, wasn't a lave relationship. And there was it's like somebody else's kid is crying, somebody else's child is crying. It doesn't hit us the same way. We don't go running over to that child. We go looking for the parent, maybe, but we don't run to the child. So therefore, he says that was the difference. He says because Yirmi was telling him, "I'm a yid, b'ni b'chayr Yisrael." I have a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam of tremendous ava. You have a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam of philosophy. Yours is a philosophical relationship. That's not a relationship that has tears in it. A relationship which has of love, relationship of emotion, that's a relationship with tears. A relationship that doesn't have that, he says, I can't explain it to you because if you don't have that emotion, you can never understand it. So he says, that's how he answered him. So he says like this, on Tisha B'Av, what do we do at Tisha B'Av? He says, you know how powerful a day Tisha B'Av is? Tisha B'Av is a day when we cry. He says, the tears of Tisha B'Av, what does it say? Tell us. It says that Mashiach will be born in Tisha B'Av. Why is Mashiach born in Tisha B'Av? Because Tisha B'Av is when we cry. And we cry to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's when that kesher between us becomes so strong. He says, that's the mitin. What did Birmi say? Mitin Raishi Mayim. Who would make my head water? If I would just have more tears, I could have brought Mashiach. That's what he told me. He says, if I didn't have enough tears. If I had more tears and I cried over Beis HaMikdash, I could have rectified it and I could have brought, maybe it brought us no Beis HaMikdash. If I just didn't cry enough, I needed to cry more. So on Tisha B'Av, we have that ability to cry. We take the water, so to speak, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. And we were talking before about the water that the world was created with. And we each have that creation of water within us, and it's called tears. And we're able to cry and bring out that entire relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam with our tears. And that's what we do on Tisha B'Av. So he says, now, he says, what happens? He says, now we come to the Simcha part of the water. That was the tears part of the water that can make a difference. Now we come to the Simcha part of the water. What do we say before? That when the Ribbono Shel Olam sends rain to us, he's sending bracha to us. He says, but you have to know there's a clause in that rain, in that bracha. Says the Chazal, Ein lecha tefach melamala shall make shamim, shein time yaitzel across shloisha tefachim. There's no rain that comes from on top that there shouldn't be water coming from the tahayim. If you remember, we spoke about that water from the deep. Remember, where else do we find water coming up from the deep? And you remember Parshas Noach coming up soon? Parshas Noach, it says that when the Mabel came down, with the rain came down, and that was not Gishmei Bracha, it says the water from the deep ran up to meet it. Because there's a correlation, there's a corresponding energy between the relationship of the water from on high and the water below. So when we have Gishmei Bracha, it has to come from below. What does that mean? What does Chazal mean when they say that water comes up from the deep? So he says that water, he says there's a deep remez. The kesher is us. He says there's always there has to be two to tango, they say. There has to be two sides in here. There has to be the Ribbono Shel Olam who brings the water from on high, and there has to be us making that water come down. It says by Adam Rishon, that Adam Rishon, when he came out, there was no rain. When did the rain start? When Rishon davened. So until we have a time when we're going to bring down the rain does not fall. So we have a shaychus. The Ribbono Shel Olam has in Shemayim, he has the shefa bracha, all the mayim that will bring bracha to us. But that bracha doesn't come out without our in some way reaching up to the Ribbono Shel Olam and begging him for that bracha. He says, Kishi Yehudi Mitzido Misragaj Gama Shemayim Kivyachal Boichim Kenegdoi. When he will now cry down here, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cry up there and he'll bring down the bracha. So our reaching up, our understanding the water, is something that brings up the kayach of water from on top. So this is what happened at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. This is why we're doing this water stuff. We're bringing water into, and we're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're putting water, where did the water go? In the Shisim, as we said, the word Shis from Breishis is Barashis. These two holes went down out of Tahaim. We're saying we're taking that Tahaim, we're taking the water on below, which is our chelik of the water, our chelik of the bracha, and we're going to ask for it. And we're going to ask for it, and by asking for it, we're going to have the Ribbono Shel Olam going to match us on top and bring the water back down. So he says, and that's what it says. Why do you call it Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Because Shoyev and Ruach HaKadosh, because that's where they drew down the Baruch of Ruach HaKadosh from on high. So now we have what Rabbi Gamliel was doing. We asked the question before that we have the great Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was taking torches and throwing them up in the air. What was that all about? And the answer, and it says he threw one up and he took one down. What he was doing is he's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're taking a shalhevis. We're taking the light of our energy, our burning desire to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, our burning desire to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be one with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're throwing that up to you. And then when we throw that up to you, so to speak, then you're going to throw down to us the Shef of Bracha. And that's why they were juggling. We said that they were juggling because they were throwing it up in the air in order to show to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we give to you our shalhevis, or we give to you, it says the chamra, one juggled wine, we give to you the power of bracha, that when we have wine, we have bracha. Each thing they were doing, they were showing the Ribbono Shel Olam, we give to you all the good things that we have, and in return, the Ribbono Shel Olam brings down the Shef of Bracha. So this is why the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was such a tremendous deal. Because it wasn't stam a nice ceremony that you did over the water. But we were going back to May Bracious. We were going back to the very creation of the world. And as we said at the beginning of this year, the world was created, the first 3 days of creation all revolved around water. Because Mayim Chayim, the water is life. The water is our life. The water is the life both in the physical way and of course in the spiritual way. We talk about Mayim, we talk about Torah. So the Torah that gives us that we had, that we had Kadosh Baruch created 3 days of water, and now we're meramis to that. We said, why do we do this now by Sukkot? Because once we've gone through Rosh Hashanah, and once we've gone through Yom Kippur, and we purified ourselves, we're now ready for the ceremony, for the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, to reach up to the Ribbono Shel Olam with the water of the Tahaim, and then he will bring down the water milamala to us. So we have a little bit of an insight into the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, I think. A nice, beautiful insight. We have an insight into the Bechi, we have an insight into tears, and the tremendous kayach, the tears have for us, that we said before, that there was, you mentioned the Bechi is the lave, and we have that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that when we cry, the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, can't stand our tears, and comes to our succor. And when we're besimcha, like the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we reach up to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Simcha, also the Ribbono Shel Olam responds and comes down to us and helps us. So you should all have a wonderful, wonderful Sukkot, a wonderful Simchas Torah, wonderful Zois HaBracha, Hoshana Rabbah. This is, one after another is Baruch Hashem times of Simcha. And the good news is the next time we meet, there's no shir, of course, in Chol Moed, but after Yontav, it's before Parshas Bereishis. In 2 weeks, we'll have a shir, and we'll be able to do Parshas Bereishis, which is also a treat that we don't often get. Thank you. Okay, good Yontav, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Starts the second day Yontav,
and then it continues.
The men.
What? Well, that's the
so
that's
at night, right?
Vice
night,
no, in the what?
What do they do? They throw what do they do? Two on Pesach.
They do it in the street now. Yeah.
What do they do? They throw water.
That was not. It wasn't.
Yeah. What? I just turned it off.
They throw water on the street. What do they do?
So why are ladies crossing?
They play music. But how do they play music?
Sure. Sure.
No,
Halamai.
It's amazing.
What?
Halamai.
Oh, Halamai. Oh, so it's
I remember being stolen
in
the show when I was a buffer. I remember that time there were two buffers in jail.